This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, our focus turns to key issues affecting employer drug testing procedures. Between the opioid crisis dominating the headlines and the increased number of marijuana legalization laws, employers may need to revisit their drug testing programs sooner rather than later. Management side employment attorney Jim Reedy spoke about this topic earlier this year to a packed house at the Sherm Law and Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. Jim chairs the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney in Manchester, New Hampshire, and he joins us now for a closer look at how employers should adjust their testing procedures in light of the changing landscape. Jim, welcome.
Thanks, David. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us. And Jim, in light of the many state marijuana legalization laws and recent court rulings protecting job applicants in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, should employers still be testing for marijuana at all?
I guess the answer is it depends upon what type of workplace we're talking about. And within that workplace, if it is a safety-sensitive position. If it is a safety-sensitive position, in many regards, it's no different than any other substance, including alcohol. You would want to be certain that the employee can operate the equipment or perform the job safely.
Now, what happens, though, if it's a state that has legalized recreational marijuana? Does that change matters, or are employers still free to test for that?
This is truly an evolving area of the law. I guess I want to say at the outset, David, I mean, who would have guessed 10 years ago that we'd be talking about some 30 states that
yes.
have legalized marijuana, whether it's recreational or medical marijuana. And as you alluded to with regard to decisions in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and other states, daily there seem to be developments in this regard, whether in the legislature or in the courts. But that being said, so you have a state where you have someone who is engaging in either medical or recreational marijuana, and the question of whether or not the employer can still test for that. And, you know, the answer generally had been yes, but yes with more of a focus on whether they're a federal contractor, whether or not it's a safety-sensitive position. A blanket refusal to test or prohibition on testing in states where marijuana is legal still is not the law. However, there are some states, Maine being one of them, where you can not test for marijuana. Maine has medical and recreational marijuana where you cannot test at the pre-employment stage. And that perhaps could be a bellwether of how other states will sort of react and evolve in this area.
The Secretary of Labor, Alex Acosta, said in response to a question during a speech that he gave about occupational licensing that employers should rethink the practice of drug testing every applicant because it might keep qualified people out of the workforce. What were your thoughts on hearing that?
I mean, I can't speak for Secretary Acosta. Of course, he's relatively new to this job, and he's responding to a couple of things. One is the proliferation of marijuana through legalization, and the other is the labor shortage in the U.S., and that's caused by a couple of things. One is the economy improving, and the other is a limit on immigration. So as a result, many states, including my home state of New Hampshire, unemployment is hovering around 2.1%. And if full employment is 4%, clearly you're in a situation where it's a very thin labor market. And so as a result, I've got several clients that no longer test for marijuana at the pre-employment stage because they would otherwise be a bar to otherwise qualified applicants.
Well, speaking of that, Jim, have these legalization laws changed the advice that you give to your clients?
It depends on the state. It depends upon the employer, because until the last year or two, you could pretty much be safe in the position of saying marijuana is an illegal substance under federal law still, and you can rest on that. In the last 2 to 3 years, that has changed, where, again, some states have said, and even now under the Obama administration, there was the Cole memo with regard to the Attorney General basically saying to U.S. attorneys, you have the discretion whether to enforce federal drug laws in those few states at the time that had legalized marijuana, but now there are many more states. Attorney General Sessions came out recently, even before Secretary Acosta, and said that the federal government, the Trump administration, would be taking a fresh look at enforcement of federal drug policies. But then you have Secretary Acosta making basically a, I can't say it was an inconsistent statement, but it was a bit of a confusing statement in that regard. But then you also have President Trump apparently saying to a representative in Colorado that the Trump administration would be taking a new look, but suggesting even a softer look with regard to the enforcement of federal drug laws in states where there's legal marijuana. So in answer to your question, is it depends on the state, it depends on the nature of the workforce, but I am, generally speaking, talking to clients of all types about taking a new, fresh look at their drug and alcohol policies, their testing procedures if they have them, and why they test, what have they done with the positive tests, and one, is the compliance with the applicable state laws, and two, does it make sense for what they're trying to do in recruitment, retention, and safe workplace?
Well, another key drug issue in the workplace that I wanted to get to with you, Jim, is the opioid epidemic. We just marked the 2-year anniversary of Prince's death from an accidental opioid overdose, but of course this is an issue that really goes way beyond celebrities, and New England, where you practice, I know has been especially hard hit. How are opioids affecting the workplace from what you've seen?
Oh gosh, it's not just necessarily the workforce, of course, it's all communities. Regardless of economic status and the like, it touches nearly every community, every family. I'm in one of those four states that's hit particularly hard with regard to the opioid crisis. And, you know, the National Drug Institute has its statistics on opioid users, you know, and their impact upon the workplace. And there's attendance issues, there are safety issues and the like, but it's rampant. And I think, you know, you can look at all sorts of causes, but I think that the impact right away with regard to the workplace is certainly safety issues, certainly attendance issues and productivity issues. The question is, what do employers do about that? There was a study I saw recently that while HR professionals are aware of it, they also think that their CEOs and CFOs would rather terminate the employee rather than deal with the issue and deal with recovery.
Is there any personal story that you could share with our listeners from things you've observed, either with clients or just generally?
Sadly, I actually have several personal stories. A couple of quick examples. A college student who was in a band and was partake in marijuana, and from that was introduced to heroin and overdosed a couple of times. Three times here in the city of Manchester, revived by paramedics using Narcan. Good news is that he is in recovery in California, but you know it's not just a short fix with anyone with a chemical addiction or substance abuse addiction. It could be a lifetime in recovery, but it's certainly a matter of years. I know of another couple, and they were both HR professionals, and their son had been free from drug abuse for a couple of years, and he tried it once. It was tainted with fentanyl, and he overdosed and died. Hmm. Sadly, it's everywhere. I was in a restaurant in the last 6 months, and paramedics were called in. A server at the restaurant went into the restroom, used heroin laced with fentanyl, and she overdosed in the bathroom. So it's everywhere. Therefore, I think the answer for the workplace is there are certainly qualified individuals either that have struggled with substance abuse or they're in recovery, and it shouldn't be like a criminal record that follows them forever. As we know, that putting someone who's an abuser of drugs or alcohol in prison is not the fix. And so similarly in the workforce, simply terminating them is not necessarily always the answer. Here in New Hampshire, they've actually introduced a policy called Recovery-Friendly Workforce. And what that involves is a number of things, but basically availability of treatment programs, but also potential for tax credits and other resources available to employers to perhaps resurrect and recover an employee and get them back through rehabilitation.
Now, on the subject of those recovery-friendly workplaces, is that something that you find many employers have taken to heart and are putting into effect?
I know of a few offhand, and those employers have had some success already. They've partnered with EAP providers, counselors, and they've also partnered with drug treatment facilities, and as a result have had some degree of success already. One, through education. Education of their existing workforce as to the dangers of addiction to opioids and the like. And I'll say as a quick aside, part of the problem with opioids is that, of course, they were overprescribed. And once they became so expensive, then someone would look to the less expensive heroin and fentanyl. And part of the problem was they were overprescribed for workers' comp accidents and so on. So working with your workers' comp provider about alternative pain relief methods and working with the EAPP provider on education of employees, supervisory training, how to spot a substance abuse, and then working with your employee assistance provider with regard to resources available for those that might be struggling.
Bringing it back to drug testing, since opioid use often can involve the use of prescription drugs, for employers who are testing for this, do the tests even adequately capture opioid use?
The answer is, I guess it depends upon the employer and it depends upon the testing mechanism they have, which panels they use and so on. But some historically have not captured opioids. I think that has changed. But, you know, the problem with testing is sometimes it depends upon the substance you're using and how you're using it and how long it stays in your system. Of course, it can vary with marijuana, how long it stays in the system, whether you're an episodic or chronic user. The potency of marijuana is much stronger now than it used to be. And also, depending upon the nature of the test, blood versus urine versus hair samples can actually have disparate test results based upon race and so on. But for the most part, with regard to opioids, most of the panels are certainly picking that up. And then, of course, it's distinguishing between a true prescribed substance and something that might be abused or illegal substance.
And do you find, Jim, that the majority of employers are still drug testing their job applicants, or has there been any sort of decline, or does it really just depend on the industry?
At the outset, David, you mentioned my talk at the March SHRM conference in D.C., the Legal and Legislative Conference, and I asked that same question. I had probably 400 or 500 people in the room. I asked how many are still drug testing. My observation of that, of the hands that were raised, was easily 4/5, if not more, were still testing.
As we wrap up, Jim, is there a final piece of advice that you would like to share with HR professionals, whether it be what to be on the lookout for with opioids or otherwise?
I guess what I would say in that regard, David, is that HR professionals have my condolences in that regard, because SHRM studies have shown that dealing with drug and alcohol abuse has been one of the most vexing and challenging topics that HR professionals have to deal with in the modern workforce. And they have the tension of recruitment and retention along with maintaining a safe workforce. And I think what complicates the matter is the confusing state of the law between federal and state laws and so on, and especially for those employers that have operations in many states. All I can say is I think the best thing to do is take a fresh look at your drug and alcohol policies, make certain that your supervisors and managers are aware of the policy as it's rolled out, as it's refreshed. If you're testing, make certain that it's in compliance with the applicable state laws, and perhaps if you're a federal contractor, your federal the federal laws. But most importantly, tailoring the policy and your practices to your organization, the laws that apply, but more importantly, or perhaps of equal importance, your culture and what is information you seek to get from this testing. Not just simply taking something off the internet, but making it truly tailored to your workforce.
Well, let that be the last word. Jim Reedy practices in Manchester, New Hampshire, where he chairs the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney. Jim, thanks so much for your time and insights.
My pleasure, David.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue listening regularly for more podcasts on key employment-related issues, including why the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation matters for U.S. employers. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our 50-state employee handbook, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved.